Bending Light, Chapter 20.
Merlin and fucking Morgana!
Draco practically shouted as Hermione appeared in his flat sitting room with a loud pop.
What the bloody hell are you doing?
I wasn't done talking to you, Hermione said, advancing on him.
You shouldn't have fucking done that. It's dangerous.
He was still almost yelling. Hermione was sure she'd never seen him this worked up since her early school days. It's fine. She waved her hand impatiently.
No, it's not. You said yourself you're not good at it.
He was breathing heavily, and his voice wasn't raised now, but it was still laced with anger. I'm fine at it, Draco. Hermione balled her fists. And I'm allowed to take risks that I want to take. She locked her eyes with his, making sure he took her meaning. He held her gaze for a moment before spinning away from her and stalking towards the kitchen.
Well, it's a stupid risk, he tossed over his shoulder.
Is it as stupid as whatever you're cooking up with Lupin? She asked to his back, following him with quick steps. He yanked his jacket off and threw it on the sofa as he passed.
That's none of your business.
Isn't it? You get to decide what risks I take. Shouldn't I be consulted regarding yours as well?
That's a ridiculous comparison, he said tightly,
pulling the refrigerator door open in an angry jerk. It's not. It's a perfectly valid comparison. Hermione was right behind him now, fury burning bright in her breast. It's okay for you to make judgments about your actions, but not for me to make judgments about mine. Surely you realise that's a double standard. Surely you know it's complete shit.
I don't know anything, all right?
He was shouting again, really shouting this time, as he slammed the fridge door and whirled on her.
I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, or next week, or when this war is over. I just know I don't want anyone to get hurt because of me.
And that's enough to just throw it all away, Hermione yelled back at him, determined to fight it out.
Throw what away?
He bit out, leaning into her face, his eyes dark and sparkling in the dim light of the kitchen.
You kissed Theo, too. Go be with him instead.
Hermione saw white spots in front of her eyes. I kissed Theo once, she yelled, pointing a finger at Draco's face. Because you were blowing bloody hot and cold, and it was nothing like you and me. She jabbed at his chest, tears starting in her eyes. Nothing has ever been like you and me. Nothing. She heard her voice break, and she hated it, but went on anyway. And I know you're scared, but I'm scared too. And I think it's really bloody unfair and condescending that you just get to say unilaterally, no, we're not going to do this. It's not fair, Draco. Hermione had moved closer as she spoke and was now right in Draco's face. She could see the tight lines of his mouth and the individual lashes fringing his stormy eyes, the fine sheen of sweat on his skin. She could feel that her hair had half come down, and a curl that was brushing her neck. She could hear his ragged breaths go in and out over a moment that seemed to stretch in time, until he made a strangled sound and reached for her, his arms going so tightly around her that she puffed out an involuntary gasp just before his lips crashed down on hers. Hermione's hands were instantly in his hair as she pushed up on her tiptoes into the kiss, her tongue going to his as he moved her back against the counter, pressing it into her, his fingers winding into her curls.
I can't fight you,
he murmured against her mouth.
I don't want to.
She took a shuddering breath in. You can't fight us, she said, sliding her hands down from his nape and around to his back, her lips seeking his again, nipping at his lower lip, totally abandoned, as she chased his tongue with hers. He groaned into her mouth, and his hands went to her waist, where he grasped and lifted her up onto the counter, then pushed between her legs and pulled her roughly against him. Hermione's arousal spiked at the possessive movement, and she cradled his face in her hands, kissing him vicariously. She wanted every bit of him, every part, and she wasn't going to be denied any longer. On that thought, she slid her hands down again, under his shirt, suddenly needing to feel his bare skin, his warmth against her fingers. She meant only to run her hands under the soft fabric, but instead found herself pushing it up and over his head. He helped her, barely breaking their kiss as he pulled it off and tossed it away. She let her hands wander, over his chest and his shoulders, down his beautiful arms and around to his back. His breath became heavy along with her movements, which spurred her on. She broke from his lips to look at him, leaning back and letting her eyes travel where her hands had been. He was perfectly formed, looking like the angel he'd been mistaken for, almost glowing in the moonlight coming in the huge sitting room windows. Beautiful, she breathed, tracing one finger up from his hand, his long fingers clasped around her thigh, up his forearm and his bicep to his clavicle. Draco watched her face, his lips slightly parted, his eyes black. When she got to the centre of his chest, Hermione caught his eye, and then let her finger drift lower, over his stomach and downward from there. His breath caught as he grabbed her hand right before it went to his waistband. He pulled back and briefly touched his forehead to hers, breathing in and out raggedly.
Bedroom,
he finally whispered, pulling her down off the counter. She went slowly, sliding against him, feeling every bit of him, the knowledge that he was aroused by her too inflaming her beyond anything she'd felt before.
Fuck, Hermione,
he said, as she reached up to kiss him again. He stayed with her lips only a few seconds, before moving down her neck to her shoulder, his tongue wicked and his teeth skimming her skin. He got to the strap of her dress and pushed it down.
God's this dress,
his voice a strained whisper. The zip is in the back. Hermione took advantage of his bowed head to run her tongue over the shell of his ear and bite his lobe softly. His whole body jerked in response, and she felt reckless, almost unlike herself, but she also felt powerful and elated.
Bedroom, now,
he said, and she could hear urgency, but also the faintest slip of humour in his voice. She smiled as he took her hand and led her out of the kitchen, and then swiftly down the hall to a dark doorway. Stepping through, he bent and clicked on a dim light that illuminated dark walls, a fireplace, a dramatic canopied bed. She'd barely taken it in before he slammed the door shut and gathered her in his arms again, all that glorious skin pressed against her as he kissed her deeply. Her hands spasmed on his back, and he turned them, then broke the kiss and pushed her lightly down on the bed. She sat, leaning back slightly on her hands, gazing up at him from under her lashes, every bit of her alive to sensation. She'd wanted him for so long, the taste she'd had before just whetting her appetite. He looked at her for a long moment, then reached out and pulled the clip out of her bun. Hermione felt her hair fall down around her shoulders. She heard him take in a sharp breath.
Do you know how exquisite you are?
He asked. his voice low, almost a detached drawl.
"Thank you," she whispered into the stillness. He stood there, just looking at her. "Do you want to come here?" she finally said, the corner of her mouth going up.
"Yes."
Hermione reached out for his hand and he grasped hers, their fingers twining. She looked at their hands and then back at him. His face was serious now, tender, and something between a laugh and a sob bubbled up in her throat. "Come here," she said, echoing his words to her from the night at the bookshop, tugging him forward. He came, but instead of pushing her backwards, he knelt swiftly between her legs. Hermione parted them instinctively, her mind racing. He looked up at her and tilted his chin, then rested his hands on her ankles and ran them up to the hem of her dress.
"I want to lay you out on my bed. Put my lips on every inch of you."
He ran his hands back down to her ankles, and Hermione took a sharp breath in.
"But what on earth are we going to do about these?"
he asked, sliding his hands down around the heel of her boot and lifting it slightly. He blinked and a slow smile stole over his face. "Oh, my God!" Hermione laughed and put her hands to her forehead. "I'll get them," she said, straightening up. "They're massive, I know."
"Oh, no, no, no,"
he said, extending a firm palm in front of her.
"I'll do it."
It was nothing new that Hermione found Draco incredibly attractive. She was physically affected by his every movement, his scent, his expressions, his voice. And at this particular moment, she was, unsurprisingly, in an extremely heightened state. However, the vision of him bending over her foot, shirtless, back muscles chasing between his smooth skin as he carefully undid the laces of her boot and slid it off, nearly fucking destroyed her. As soon as he looked up with a triumphant smile, her second boot in his hand, she reached out and practically yanked him forward, capturing his mouth in a devouring kiss. He went, and the playful mood dissipated as he moved over her and pushed her down onto the bed, the weight of his body as delicious as she remembered. They moved up his pillows, and with a series of soft sighs and increasingly heated touches, he turned her onto her stomach and found the zip on her dress, then slowly undid it while he placed kisses down her back every inch or so. Hermione didn't know whether to thank or curse Lavender for the no-bra situation, because when he realised she wasn't wearing one, the kisses stopped. But then the dress came off very quickly, and Hermione was treated to his reaction, as close to reverence as she'd ever seen, when he pulled back and really looked at her. After that, his clever mouth and hands worked over her body as she dug her fingers into his silky hair. He was breathing heavily, moving slowly between her legs as she pressed back against him and ran her foot up the back of his calf, vaguely realizing his jeans were still on and wondering why. But then his fingers drifted near the band of her knickers and he breathed,
"May I?"
against her lips. She nodded, whispering a soft yes, only a little embarrassed at how wet he was going to find her. He didn't seem to mind in the least, though. If anything, his kisses got deeper and his movements more purposeful as he touched her. And his fingers were like magic, spooling the most intense sensations out of her as his lips sought her breasts and she gasped his name and clutched at him, concentrating on what was happening to her and how shockingly good it felt. He had moved up and was kissing her neck when she began to shatter, surprise circling ecstasy as it happened more quickly and easily than it ever had with anyone else, even by herself. Her fingers spasmed into his back and her nails raked his skin as he muttered into her ear,
"Yes, that's it. Let yourself go. You're so fucking beautiful. So perfect."
Thoughts of their previous time together drifted through Hermione's mind as she came down. She had felt ready to go further then, caught up in a kind of frenzy born of their near escape. But she found her inclination now was to go more slowly. That said, she did want to return the favour, so she gently pushed Draco's hand out of her knickers and rolled him onto his back. "Why are you still wearing these?" she asked, skimming her palm over the front of his jeans. He groaned and closed his eyes.
"I was a bit preoccupied."
She hovered a hand over his fly. "May I?" she asked, leaning over to nip at his ear again. He seemed to like that. He opened his mouth, but no recognisable words came out. He took a stuttering breath.
"Yes, but you don't have..."
"Tell me what feels good," she whispered, undoing his button and zip. He blew out a laugh, his eyes still closed.
"It all feels good, Hermione."
His eyes fluttered open, going straight to her bare breasts.
"And whatever you do, it's not going to take long, I'm warning you."
She pushed down his jeans and tugged them off his long legs, then moved back up and slid her tongue into his mouth as she reached in front of his trunks. He practically bucked up off the bed at her touch, which started slow and soft as she pulled back and gazed at his beautiful face. She spread her hand, and he was right. It didn't take very long before he was shuddering and groaning her name.
"My gods,"
he muttered after a few moments. Hermione watched his face again as he relaxed, propped up on an elbow as she traced patterns of his chest with a light finger. His lids eventually fluttered open and he looked back at her, his eyes light silver and almost sleepy-looking. "Bedroom eyes." The phrase flitted through her consciousness and she knew she'd remember this moment for a long time. "Good," she said, a quirk to her mouth.
"I think you know,"
he said lazily, sliding his hand up behind her head and bringing her down for a kiss. He kept their lips and pushed up and over her, reversing their positions and propping himself on his elbow. She looked up at him in the warm light, his gorgeous bone structure and colouring, a lock of bright hair falling over his forehead. She reached up and smoothed it back as he closed his eyes and tilted his head into her palm. "Draco," she said.
"Mm-hmm."
His eyes were still closed, but they opened now and focused on her. A small crease appeared between them. "This is it now, isn't it?" she said softly. "No more back and forth."
"No more back and forth."
He shook his head once.
"I think we've established that I can't stay away."
He bit his lower lip, and it was adorable. Hermione reached up to kiss him, and they were occupied for a bit. But eventually she pulled back. "I talked to Harry," she said.
"I could tell. Potter's face is, as always, an open book."
She chuckled. "Yes. But I also talked to him about what you said, and he explained a bit, where you're coming from. I just wanted you to know." She reached up to brush his face. "That I did hear you, and I do understand somewhat, even if I don't agree." He nodded slowly, then lay down on the pillow to face her, so close she could see the deeper green ring around his irises.
"But this may be all we get," he whispered. "We'd be fools to pass it up, wouldn't we?"
"Yes." She smiled at him and he smiled back, then pulled her close against him. Hermione tucked her face into his neck and breathed deeply, feeling herself finally relaxed and at peace in his arms. Draco shifted and opened one eye to the extremely dim light of early morning. It took him a moment to realise that something warm was pressed up against him, and something soft was tickling his chin. Memory rushed back and he grinned slowly. splaying his palm against Hermione's stomach and pulling her back closer against his front. She made a sweet sound and burrowed into him.
"Are you awake?"
he whispered, enjoying the warmth and a feeling like they were the only two people in the world. He knew Theo hadn't come home. Draco always woke when the flat's loud door lock turned, and he hadn't stirred the slightest bit last night. In fact, he'd slept better than he had in a long time.
"Somewhat."
She arched her back against him, and Draco let his hand drift upwards to her breasts as he lowered his lips to her neck. She sighed, the sound making him press harder against her. She hummed her approval and twined her arms up around the back of his neck, running her fingers into his hair and arching even further. Sensation sparked through Draco's body, and he wrapped himself around her, tracing down her shoulder with his lips. She sucked in a soft breath.
"Draco."
As he slid his hand down her sleek torso. When he got to her knickers, he paused, but she breathed a soft, "Yes." So he pushed them down and off. It was glorious to feel her body pressed against him. No barriers to stop his roving hands and lips. He breathed in deeply, enjoying the fragrance at the nape of her neck, and then licked and kissed her there, eliciting a sharp gasp.
"You like that?"
he murmured, doing it again, a bit rougher this time. He was so turned on it was harder to be soft and slow.
"Yes." "Oh!"
She pushed back against him and Draco ghosted his other hand, which had been teasing her inner thighs, up further. When he touched her, she moaned, and fire surged through him. He tightened his other arm around her stomach to pull her even tighter against him. The sensation almost put him over the edge, but he kept his focus on her, wanting to make her feel good. Wanting to evoke the same ecstatic reaction he'd been treated to last night. Just then she looked over her shoulder and reached for him, pulling his lips against hers, her hands splayed against the back of his head. He tongued deep into her mouth and increased the pace of his fingers. She writhed and moaned, and he swept his other hand to her breast and lingered there.
"God, Draco!"
She broke away, her breath coming hard. He felt an overwhelming desire to get closer to her. Taste her. Swiftly, he pulled her onto her back and moved over her, kissing down the soft skin and lingering on her breasts, which she seemed to enjoy. But when he moved lower, down her stomach and to the sweet join of her hip and leg, she made a little sound of surprise. So he looked up, a question in his eyes. Her gaze was dark and her lips were parted, swift little breaths darting from them. He could see all of her as she propped up to look at him, and it was so hot that he throbbed with desire, rubbing himself against the softness of the sheet almost unconsciously.
"Is this okay?"
he whispered, leaning down to place a soft kiss on her upper thigh.
"I've never..."
The breathlessness in her voice inflamed him even further, but he waited for her to decide. Her eyes roved over him and he kissed her again, on her stomach this time, swirling her skin a little with his tongue, a promise of things to come. She jerked at the sensation, then plunged her hands into his hair, pushing his head down slightly. Draco's lips lifted and he glanced up, but her head was thrown back and her eyes closed, so he focused his attention and moved deliberately down her body, enjoying her soft skin and the feeling of her foot hooked around his arse, hitching him against her. When he first touched his tongue to her, she jolted again, so he checked in, pausing and peering up. Her eyes were still closed, but her fingers tightened in his hair and she nudged against him, so he continued, working over her softness, lapping and savouring.
The intimacy of it was intense, and his pleasure spiked as he felt hers ratchet up. And when he changed his angle slightly and she moaned, loud, in the stillness of the room, he found himself reaching inside his trunks. It wasn't long before he was stroking in time to her rapid breaths, then jerking against his hand as she started to writhe on his face. He could tell when she realized what he was doing, because he felt her shift up and she gasped, her nails raking his scalp. "Oh, yes," she choked out, and the idea that she was watching him and turned on by it drove him almost out of his skull. His climax started to come into sharp focus, so with his free hand he grasped her waist, pulling her against him and delving into her with even deeper intensity. She tensed and cried out, her thighs tightening around his ears, and Draco felt a soaring sensation as she shuddered and gasped his name, clearly reaching for her peak. Suddenly she went rigid, making a sound between a moan and a scream that seemed to unlock Draco's climax with a primal force. He groaned against her as he came apart, hanging on just enough consciousness to work her through her release until she was boneless and sighing beneath him. Eventually he came down too, cheek resting on her belly, eyelashes fluttering against her skin as he blinked to awareness. He wasn't quite sure what had just happened, but he knew he'd never experienced anything like it before. He rubbed his cheek against her, moved his lips softly on her skin, then looked up to see her dark gaze roving over his face. He shifted up to look at her. She was all tousled curls and sleepy brown eyes, and definitely the most beautiful thing he'd ever seen. Why had he denied himself for so long? Thoughts of why threatened to intrude, but he pushed them away, determined to enjoy the moment now he was committed to this path. He reached down, intending to touch his lips to her sweetly, gently. But in a quick movement she wrapped her hand around the back of his head and brought his mouth down hard on hers. Draco felt a slight smile tug at his lips as he sank into the kiss. They kissed for a while in the quiet dim, their mouths and hands eventually growing heated again. He was apparently insatiable for her, until she pulled back with a groan. "I should probably sneak back home." She ran a soft finger over his cheek. "I'm fairly certain Harry didn't sleep there, but he'll come back for the portkey, and I want to be there to see him off. He has to leave early." Draco propped up on an elbow as she lay back and laced her hands behind her head. Distracted by her bare breasts above the coverlet and the memories of what had so recently transpired, Draco didn't respond immediately. She cleared her throat. "Eyes up here, Malfoy."
"Well, when they're just in my face," he said with a grin and a flick of his brows.
She stuck out her tongue and pulled him down next to her again. He settled on the pillows and attempted to school his brain into rational thought.
"I suppose you should go,"
he yawned.
"Although, I hate to concede you to Potter. Let Matteo send him off,"
he said, leaning over and beginning to kiss her neck again. "I hope he had a nice time," she murmured.
"I'm sure he did. Matteo has quite a reputation."
"You don't sound surprised by any of this. With Harry," she said, beginning to run her fingers through his hair, which he enjoyed quite a lot.
"I suspected."
"Really? I never did." Draco had discovered the spot under her earlobe and was giving it some attention.
"You were too close, and your platonic best friends." "Right?"
He suddenly looked up at her. "Yes." She wrinkled her nose at him. He lifted a shoulder.
"Just checking. And yes, last year I wandered a few times, when he was stalking me all over school."
"He did say he thinks you're good-looking," she sighed,
stretching like a cat under his hands and lips.
You're good-looking. Gorgeous, in fact. I particularly enjoy this bit,
Draco said, nipping at her smooth shoulder.
And this one.
He placed a soft kiss on the dent above her upper lip.
And this.
He directed a light swat at her bare arse. Hey! She grabbed his hand and shot him a mock severe look. And we could argue all day about that, although I really should go. There was laughter in her voice, but it faded from her face as he looked down at her, trying to memorize her in this moment.
What?
He asked, a trickle of worry invading his blissful happiness. I need to hear it again, she said quietly. He tilted his head. What you said? No going back. No pulling away.
I meant it.
He kept his eyes on hers.
No pulling back. No pulling away. I don't want to, and I don't think I could.
He picked up her hand and rested his lips on her fingers. And you'll come in today, to the cafe and see me, because I can't. She broke off and her eyes darted to the side. I can't do that again, Draco. Why, you reject me. He slid his hands up and cradled her face, looked into her eyes.
I know, and I will absolutely be there today and tomorrow, and every other day we're here together. Nothing could keep me from it.
You promise?
I promise.
And he did, with all his heart. Chapter 21 Hermione touched her lips as she, finally, walked away from the large green door to Draco's building. He hadn't let her leave for quite a while, detaining her in the hallway of the flat, on the stairs and in the foyer. He also hadn't wanted her walking alone, but she insisted San Cipriano being generally about as safe as Hogsmeade, and her wanting to reinforce the idea that she wasn't breakable or in need of protection. And now she wanted to move, joy bubbling up through her like fizzy wine. She swung down the square and through the centre of town, her strides long and her feet light despite her heavy boots. Her boots. Oh, visions of him kneeling to unlace them. She sighed at the thought and then actually laughed out loud. A passing delivery man gave her an indulgent look, and she schooled her features, a little amazed that the town was just waking up as she was coming home. She looked down at her dress. What was this supposed to be called? The Walk of Shame? Fuck that. She felt anything but ashamed. Ruminating on these things, she started up the hill to her flat, moving briskly over the uneven cobbles and puffing against the steepness of the street. She was looking down, so she didn't notice a figure coming towards her in the opposite direction until it was almost upon her, and she looked up and startled when she registered the other tread right in her path. Oh, Harry!
Hi, Hermione. Harry was also in last night's clothes, and his hair was an absolute wreck.
They stood and looked at each other for a few beats, and Hermione felt heat in her cheeks, even as she watched a flush climb up Harry's neck. Well, she said, did you, have a nice time?
Yeah.
He scrubbed a hand through his hair and looked to the side.
You?
Uh-huh.
Good, good. With, Malfoy?
Harry winced a little on the last bit. Hermione nodded slowly. And you were at Mateo's?
Yeah, that's right.
They stood there a moment longer, until a van roaring down the street made them both start. Hermione shook her head and stepped forward. I guess we're not kids anymore, she said, slinging her arm around Harry's neck. He looked at her with a grin.
No.
Come on. Hermione started walking them towards her door. I'll make us some tea and toast before you have to go. They trudged up the steps to the empty, messy flat. Hermione peeked in Lavender's room to confirm that she hadn't made it home last night either.
"You want the shower first?" she asked Harry. He was glugging a glass of water in the kitchen. "Please," he said. "I'm rank. All the dancing and cigarette smoke."
"And the sex. Don't forget the sex." Hermione grinned and waved him off down the hall. "Towels are in the cupboard next to the bath." Later, when they were both freshly scrubbed and ensconced at the kitchen table, with a strong pot of tea and a large rack of toast between them, Hermione took advantage of their last hour together to grill Harry about his plans for the autumn.
"So you really don't think you're going back to school?"
"It's doubtful," Harry said, chewing. "I think I need to focus on finding the rest of the Horcruxes."
"But Dumbledore?"
"He's too sick." Harry shook his head. "I saw him last month, and I don't think we'll have him for long, Hermione."
"Really?"
Hermione put down her cup and touched Harry's hand, a little chagrin that she hadn't asked about the headmaster earlier. Harry nodded.
"And even before it happens, the curse is... it's bad. He could barely speak when I was there."
"Oh, Harry."
Hermione put her whole hand over his, her mind running over the things she'd mostly tried to forget the last 2 months. The war, the danger, and the heartbreak waiting for her when she left this place.
"I know."
Harry closed his eyes and turned his hand to grip hers.
"I'm going to try and see him one more time. Ask him what I can. But after that, I think it will be time for action."
"Do you have a plan?"
"I mean, vaguely, to find the rest of them."
Harry rubbed at his neck as Hermione snorted a laugh.
"But I think the first step is the locket."
Hermione nodded, her mind racing with thoughts of school, the real world, the war. Draco's face flitted before her eyes. He wouldn't be at Hogwarts this year. Who knew where he'd be, actually? She looked around the flat. She'd be leaving here soon and... going back to what? To books and classes and petty concerns, while the people she cared about most were gone, risking themselves. Fighting.
"I'll go with you," she said suddenly, making a snap decision.
"What? I can't ask you to..."
Harry leaned forward in his chair and frowned into her eyes.
"No, you can't. But I can offer. And you can't refuse me. You can't afford to."
"Hermione, what about school? What about your parents?"
"School can be made up when and if we get through this thing. My parents I'll have to think about."
Hermione stared into the distance. She'd fobbed them off rather easily this summer with a trumped-up study abroad story, bolstered by Professor Lupin. But jettisoning her entire last year of school would be more difficult to explain, and it was probably time to start thinking about their protection.
"Well, I can't deny that I'd be happy to have you with me."
"Thank you," Harry said, his eyes suddenly a bit shiny.
Hermione touched his arm.
"Of course. And are you going to ask Ron?"
"I can't see keeping it from him," Harry shrugged. "I'm sure it will come up at Bill and Fleur's wedding, and if he wants to come, I'll be happy to have him."
"God!"
Hermione slapped her forehead.
"I'd totally forgotten about the wedding."
"August 31st. I'm still coming to get you and bring you to the Burrow for it, right? That's what we said in June, although..."
Harry looked down.
"Maybe I'll try and come a day or two early."
Hermione's brows went up.
"Matteo?"
Harry got very focused on shredding a piece of toast.
"Mm-hmm."
"Well, arrange it with Lupin. It would be lovely to have you here before we all have to go. Make it a little easier."
Hermione's voice trailed off, the prospect of leaving squeezing her chest.
"So, things are okay then?"
Harry's voice was soft.
"With you and Malfoy. You worked it out?"
Hermione nodded at the tabletop.
"I could see it last night. I mean, it was hard to miss."
Harry laughed a little bit.
"What's between you two?"
He shifted in his seat.
"It kind of makes sense, you know. Like, more than you and Ron ever did? Now that Malfoy's not a bigoted little shit anymore. Well, at least not bigoted."
Hermione snorted. He's changed a lot. You'd be surprised.
No, I get it. I saw it with Theo last night, and even Blaze. I had a good time with them at the disco.
Oh, I'm sorry I missed it.
No, you're not. Harry sent her a singularly wicked smile, and Hermione felt her face go bright red.
Harry?
He just laughed, and then looked at the clock.
Shite, I have to get going. A Lupin's waiting for me in France somewhere. Got a tricky route planned back to the safe house.
Ugh. He rolled his eyes. At least you'll be seeing Dean again, Hermione said hopefully.
Yeah, Harry nodded quickly. That's true.
Hermione took a moment to wonder at the changes even the last few days wrought in her relationships, before she looked up and spoke briskly. Okay, let me know what day you're coming back, so I can be ready. Harry nodded again as he stood, and Hermione got up to meet him. She looked at him for a long moment, his dark, messy hair, slightly crooked glasses. They smiled slightly at each other, and then Hermione lurched forward and caught him tightly in her arms. He tugged her back, just as fierce.
I'll miss you until then, he said, his voice choked. Be safe, Hermione.
Same. And to you, Hermione replied, a little sob hiccuping out of her throat as she finally let him go.
Draco was true to his word. He came whistling into the cafe around 10, an hour or so before the bookshop opened. Hermione was busy with a group of tourists who didn't speak English or Italian, trying and failing to pantomime panini options, when he walked by and shot her a slow smile. It was so hot that she completely forgot what she was doing and stared stupidly, her hand doing an idiotic half-wave before she could stop it. The tourists, noting her distraction, turned as one to stare, and Draco's smile turned positively angelic, morphing into an expression Hermione normally would have expected to see on Theo's face. He was so beautiful that one of the ladies in the group actually sighed, and one turned back to Hermione and dipped her chin in approval. As soon as the group was served, Draco appeared at the counter, leaning over it and giving her another warm look.
"Good morning. What would you like?" she asked, leaning towards him almost involuntarily. He looked at her for a beat, the smile widening and his eyes running slowly over her person.
"So many things, Granger," he said, his voice low and caressing.
Hermione felt herself go bright red. "Yes, a coffee, then?" she sputtered, eyeing an older gentleman in the queue behind Draco.
Draco's fingers, which were resting on the counter near her hands, brushed lightly against hers.
A coffee would be lovely, yes.
He turned and nodded at the signore behind him, but then stopped suddenly and pivoted back.
Make it a doppio, please. I didn't get a lot of sleep last night.
Hermione's mouth opened and closed. Then she shot him a look and turned her attention to the older man. After serving him, she made Draco's coffee and brought it to him at the corner table he'd commandeered. He had a Muggle newspaper up in front of his face, but he flipped it down and leaned forward as she approached, his eyes running very obviously over her as she set his cup down. She raised her brows at him.
"I like that dress," he said with a half shrug. "A lot."
Hermione looked down at the simple pink cotton sheath. One of her favourites, she wore it all the time.
"Oh, thank you."
She was a bit flustered, and the idea that he had been admiring her in it all along. His eyes glinted up at her, and he flicked his fingers up from where they were resting on the edge of the table, and lightly brushed her thigh. Hermione took a sharp breath in, whipping her head around to see if anyone had noticed. His smile widened and his head tilted.
"No one's looking. You're just serving a customer."
Hermione was sure that anyone with working intuition could sense the waves of longing and desire radiating from their little corner of the cafe. But he was right.
When she looked around, everyone else in the bustling room was absorbed in their own conversations or reading materials. Their own lives. No one was looking. So impulsively, she bent down and placed a swift kiss on Draco's cheek, flicking her own brows up at him as she turned to duck back behind the counter. She was gratified to see his hand float to his face. After that, she got busy, the mid-morning rush enhanced by several other tourist groups passing through. Although there was ample opportunity for quick glances and shared looks, each of which gave Hermione a potent little thrill. She had just stuck down to retrieve a tray of glasses from the dishwasher when the bell jangled again, and loud hellos echoed through the space. It was Maurizio, his smile brilliant, and he swept in and leaned over the counter. Hermione sensed, more than saw, the increased attention from Draco's corner.
"A triple this morning, bellissima," Maurizio said, then yawned dramatically. "I am so, so tired."
He slumped on the counter as Hermione laughed.
"Your friends, they keep me out so late," he complained.
"More like the other way around, I'd wager." Hermione smiled as she tamped espresso and prepped the machine. Maurizio shrugged eloquently.
"I have missed you."
He placed his hand over his heart.
"When will they be together? When will you dance with me?"
Hermione glanced over at Draco. The paper was up over his face again, but his foot was tapping.
"This Friday," Maurizio persisted. "I pick you up, and we get some dinner, have some wine, and then we dance."
The corner of the paper flipped down, and a raised brow appeared behind it. Hermione suppressed a smile.
No, I can't. I'm busy this Friday."
Her eyes darted quickly to the grey ones watching her, and from the corner, Draco nodded quickly.
"Always you put me off."
Maurizio placed his hand over his heart again, but he was grinning. Hermione suspected he enjoyed the chase more than the catch.
Okay,
he said, making a short bow as he placed his empty cup back on the counter.
"But I don't give up."
He backed out of the door, making eyes at Hermione while she laughed and waved. She glanced over to the corner, but the paper was back up. Also, she was out of milk. Taking stock of the cafe, she saw that the pre-lunch lull had replaced the mid-morning rush, and it was nearly empty. So she ducked into the back room and went to the large fridge there. She was about to open the door when a soft tread sounded behind her, and an arm slid around her waist. She was spun around and urgent lips descended on hers before she could think. Draco tasted delicious, a hint of almond from the biscuit he'd eaten. Hermione's arms snaked up around his neck and she sighed into his mouth, opening her lips as his tongue teased against hers. He was wicked, angling her neck and backing her against the wall. Her fingers went into his hair and his hand drifted towards her arse. When his other brushed her breast, she started a bit and broke the kiss, her eyes darting over to the bright doorway. No one could see them here, but still.
"The bell hasn't rung," Draco muttered against her skin. "You're fine." But if Giancarlo...
Hermione arched her neck, offering it for his lips.
"I was helping you with the milk," he said,
a hint of a smile in his voice.
"You're such a helpful person."
"Don't you know? I am."
The smile was really apparent now.
"For example, I'd be happy to help you get this dress off later."
He nudged her in a significant way.
"Draco?"
But she was laughing quietly.
"Really? Come over tonight," he said,
his voice darker now.
"Theo's got the dinner shift at the restaurant, and he's going out after. I'll cook."
She sighed. "How perfectly lovely."
"Yes, I'd love that." She drew back and reached up to run her fingers over his jaw. He was so gorgeous, if a bit rumpled.
She smoothed his hair. And I presume you've got big plans for us on Friday, since I passed up a date with Maurizio for you.
Oh, are you seeing other people?
His head ducked, and his lips whispered against her skin again. Well, no one's asked me not to.
Please don't see anyone but me.
His lips were back on hers again, and his knee was between her legs.
And the next time that smooth git comes in here, tell him you're spoken for, so that I don't have to resort to violence.
All right. And if that dark-haired girl from the disco comes in to talk to you at the bookshop, please do the same. He smiled against her lips.
You noticed Sophia?
Oh, Sophia! And yes, if I see her touch your hair again, I won't be responsible for my actions. He laughed.
Deal.
The bell did ring now, and Hermione pulled away reluctantly, running her palm up his chest to rest it near his heart. He looked down at her, and his eyes roved over her face.
So beautiful, he murmured.
Hermione's stomach flipped, and she bit her lip.
What a sore trial to her self-control not to just throw him against the wall.
Instead, she called on her professionalism and ducked back around him, going to the fridge and pulling out several cartons of milk. She handed a couple to him. Here, look busy. He laughed and took them, then followed her through the doorway. Hermione wasn't able to hide her answering smile.
Well, well, what do we have here?
Amused tones sounded from near the door, and Hermione realised it was Lavender who had come in. The place was empty but for her.
Lav! Hi!
Hermione was suddenly flustered. She looked hurriedly over her shoulder at Draco.
Hello, Lavender.
Hermione could hear a faint smile in his voice.
Draco? Aren't you supposed to be at the bookshop by now?
Lavender's eyes danced as they darted from the clock to him. Draco looked up at the clock.
Shit,
he said succinctly, setting the milk down with a thump. Lavender leaned over the counter on her elbows, watching them avidly and unabashedly as Draco turned to Hermione.
I'll see you later, he asked softly.
Yes, and what time?
I'm off at 6 and I need to go to the market. Come around 7?
Okay. Hermione couldn't help the stupidly large smile that bloomed over her face. Draco looked at her for a moment, his expression soft. Then his eyes darted to Lavender, and the corner of his mouth went up. Suddenly he leaned down and planted a lingering kiss on Hermione's lips. She felt her whole face heat as he slipped out from behind the counter and picked his jacket up off the chair he'd been sitting in.
Love?
He nodded as he swept by, flicking his eyebrows at Hermione. Lavender turned so that her back was to the counter.
Bye, Draco, she called.
He waved without turning around as he walked out of the door, and Hermione busied herself with a cleaning cloth.
Well, well, well.
Lavender turned back around after several beats. Hermione didn't meet her eyes, but she felt her heat in her face intensify. Finally, she looked up. Lavender was grinning at her like a Cheshire cat.
What? Hermione half laughed. May I have a double espresso and an explanation, please? Lavender said sweetly. I don't know what there is to say.
Hermione bit down on her smile as she turned to the espresso machine.
Don't know what there is to say. What happened?
Hermione looked over her shoulder to see Lavender's eyes round and her grin wide.
Last I heard, you were arguing in my bedroom, and now I come in and you're walking out of the back room, all rumpled and snug-looking, and he's kissing you right in front of me.
We worked it out. Hermione put one shoulder up and turned to serve Lavender her coffee. Lavender craned her neck and made Hermione catch her eye.
Worked it out. Did you sleep together? Lavender?
Hermione looked wildly around the room, even though she knew it was empty.
What? There's nobody here?
Lavender slurped her coffee without taking her eyes off Hermione. Hermione stayed silent and Lavender's eyes widened until Hermione finally broke.
No, okay. We didn't.
Not exactly.
But you did other things.
Hermione tilted her head and crossed her arms.
This is girl talk, Hermione. Get used to it.
Oh, so I have to tell you everything?
No, you don't. But it's fun.
Lavender leaned down again and lowered her voice. And I thought you were close the other night. Hermione glanced reflectively around the cafe again, but there was still nobody lurking in a corner table.
I guess, she looked away.
The other night was... We got carried away, but I kind of want to take it slower. Like you and Blaze.
Oh, that ship has sailed, sweetie,
Lavender laughed.
What? Yeah, a while ago. Right after we last talked about it, actually. But this is not about me.
Hermione turned back to the espresso machine and pulled out the scoop.
How about... It was lovely, and I'll leave it at that. Okay.
Lavender's tone was softer, and she gave Hermione a sweet smile. Then her eyes narrowed.
I'll break you down eventually, though. I want to know if he's a good kisser, and if he's good with his mouth in other ways... How he is with his hands, how big is Lavender Rose Brown?
Lavender just smirked as the bell rung and a group of young mothers with prams began trundling in.
That'll be my mum's group. They'll all need coffees and cake, so you'd better go.
Hermione made a shooing motion with her hands, but she also couldn't prevent the grin tugging at her lips.
All right, all right.
Lavender laughed as she turned towards the door and nodded quick hellos to a few of the young women.
But I'll talk to you later, she pointed. And Hermione?
What? Hermione sent a wary glance at the mums.
Don't take it too slow.
Lavender jutted her chin in the direction Draco had gone.
Remember, less than a month.
Hermione shook her head and waved Lavender off as she went out the door.
You have a dark grey ring around your iris.
Draco felt Hermione's fingers brush over his eyebrow as her gaze roved his face. She was sitting on his kitchen counter, and he was exactly where he wanted to be. Between her legs, hands on her thighs, thumbs brushing at the satiny skin there. It was evening. Mellow light filtered in from the sitting room windows, which were open to the soft air. She had just arrived for their planned dinner, and he'd barely let her put down the bottle of wine she'd bought before he'd pulled her against him.
Well, you have freckles.
He felt the corner of his mouth lift.
Only like 5?
Her outraged look was adorable.
I count 7.
He leaned down and kissed each one before capturing her mouth again. She made a muffled sound, but after a moment her tongue tasted against his lips and he opened, deepening the playfulness to something more intense, as his thoughts ran to what were already the favourite parts of the night, and morning before. She drank from his lips, her hands sliding down his neck to his shoulders. He leaned her back against the cupboards, pressing into her, feeling like he could move in this moment and live here for the rest of his life. And they did kiss for quite a long time, until the sound of furiously boiling water became so persistent that Draco couldn't ignore it any longer. He pulled away from her lips reluctantly.
"The pasta,"
he said, letting obvious regret tinge his words. She slid her hands down to his chest.
Yes, you'd better get it.
She looked up at him from under her lashes and bit her lip. His eyes widened.
Oh, that's just not on.
He ducked his head to kiss her again,
bloody witch.
She laughed softly and tightened her grip on him, and he found he didn't care much if the pasta was terribly overcooked. In fact, he was contemplating whether they really needed to eat at all, or if he could instead persuade her to the sofa, or the bedroom, when he heard the loud snick of the door lock. He broke away a bit abruptly, his surprise mirrored on her face. It could only be Theo, though he definitely said he'd be out all night. A step sounded in the hall, and Draco spun away to face the doorway. He sensed the motion of Hermione sliding off the counter as Theo walked into the kitchen, and the thought crossed his mind that they probably looked guilty somehow. Annoyed, he glanced at Hermione and saw a telltale crease between her brows, so he purposely set his face in aloof lines.
"Caught in the act?" Theo asked lightly, as he pulled in the doorway and his gaze flashed over them.
He cracked a smile, but Draco caught a hint of something other than humour in his eyes before he looked away.
"Of making dinner," Draco said evenly.
Hermione murmured an indistinct hello, and Draco heard and greatly disliked the nervousness in her voice. He suddenly had an intense urge to know just exactly what had happened between Theo and her. He felt his fingers curl into his palm.
"Well, don't mind me."
Theo stepped forward and yanked open a drawer.
"Just forgot my wallet."
He held up a brown leather square with a half smile and then moved back towards the hallway, turning just before he left the room.
"And, I'll be gone all night, so you two..."
He twirled his hand around. Draco felt his brows go up.
Oh.
Hermione's voice was still tight and a touch awkward. "Have a good time, Theo."
"Thanks."
Theo's eyes flicked over her.
"You too."
He shot one last look at Draco, who realised his nails were digging into his palm. Theo's whistle sounded down the hall just before the door opened and slammed. It was quiet in the kitchen but for the still righteous bubbling of the pasta. Draco moved swiftly over and turned it off, then leaned against the counter next to the hob. Hermione was standing in the same spot, looking towards the hallway, her back to him. Draco's eyes skimmed over her lithe figure.
"I know I have no right to ask."
He was almost surprised to hear his own voice. "No, you don't." She turned back to him, her face guarded.
"I'm still going to,"
he said softly. He found that he needed to know, a fact which vaguely felt alarming. Hermione bit her lip again, but this time the effect was less come hither and more pensive. "Okay."
"Do you have feelings for him?"
Draco was surprised again that this was the first thing out of his mouth.
"Like I do for you?"
"No." She shook her head decisively, and Draco felt the largest of the bands that had constricted his chest upon Theo's arrival loosen.
"And what happened between you?"
Draco could see an assortment of emotions flit over her expressive face before she took a deep breath, and he realised he was bracing himself for her answer.
"We kissed, but I think you knew that."
He nodded. He also knew there was probably more to it, so he waited. She walked slowly towards him across the kitchen. "It was one night. It didn't go further than kissing. A good amount of kissing." Her eyes flicked to his. "He wanted more, and I didn't." Draco pushed aside the sensations that a good amount of kissing raised and instead focused on the latter part of her statement.
"And why didn't you?"
She snorted and looked away.
"I think you know."
"I wouldn't mind hearing it."
She looked back and Draco saw a faint smile on her lips. She crossed her arms and the smile disappeared.
"You all right?
even though you were being an unpredictable arse, and I had no reason to think you, and every reason to, with him. She shook her head, and Draco almost reached out for her, but then she spoke again. But I do care about him. Her dark eyes flashed. And on some level, I didn't think it would be fair on him. Or me. Draco nodded.
Okay.
He pushed off the counter and towards her. So it wasn't totally about you. She held his gaze.
That's fair.
He stopped bare inches from her, looking down into her alluring face, the delightfully quirked lips and dark-winged brows. He reached down to slide his fingers along her jaw, cupping it in his hand.
Tell me one more thing.
Mm-hmm. Her eyes were dark on his as she tilted into his caress.
When he kissed you.
He slanted his mouth to hers.
Did he kiss you like this?
He slid his other palm around her waist and pulled her to him as he moved against her lips, deep and intense. Her fingers instantly tangled in his hair and she sighed low in her throat. Draco felt time fall away as they stood there, his hands roving over her lower back, the delightful curve of her waist, her arse, as his tongue explored every bit of her sweet mouth. She pressed up against him, holding the fingers of one hand in his hair and questing with the other up and under his shirt. He felt the skim of her nails against his skin and gasped with the pleasure of it. His lips left her mouth and travelled to her neck, which she arched obligingly. No, she breathed softly, after a few moments, and Draco almost couldn't remember the question she was answering. Almost. It was nothing like this. Nothing has ever been like this. Her voice broke as she pressed against him, her cheek against his heart. Draco breathed in and out as his arms enfolded her, tight and fierce.
Good,
he muttered into the fragrance of her hair.